This is PFW in Progress.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
PFW in Progress.
Get poop again!
He caught the shit.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shut up!
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. Part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got a thing. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour and then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney?
PFW in Progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
PFW in Progress once again, Thursday afternoon, May 8th, Gillette Stadium, a dreary day in Foxborough outside, but based on recent news reports, maybe a cheery day inside the offices. Matt Walsh has shipped his tapes to the NFL, the New York Times, got their hands on the certified letter saying exactly what those tapes are going to contain, and by all reports that we're hearing, it contains signals being taped in, what is it, six games over eight tapes from 2000 to 2002, Dolphins, Bills, Chargers, Steelers. I would say the only new information that is provided in the Matt Walsh tapes is the taping of offensive signals. We haven't talked about that much in the past. But not a huge jump from taping defensive signals to offensive signals, which are far more limited because of the quarterback coach microphone. So there's some new information. But first, we need to rip somebody. And that's our boss, Fred Kirsch. As that opening just said, he's got a responsibility to get his fat ass down here and host this radio show. I can't hear Tom. Gary?
Hello?
Oh, Fred's not here, and you screw up.
Hello?
Jesus.
Can you hear me?
All right, now you're on.
Today's a big day.
Huge.
We have a lot going on. You know, Fred, he's the leader. He's supposed to be here on days like this.
And he's not.
He's
and that's
up there holding Brian Morey's hand with that stupid museum.
That really bothers me, that some ass...
Yeah, I fully expected to get a steady diet of Fred Kirsch today, with that smirk on his face and that that devil, you know, may care grin. I'm a little disappointed.
Not just smirk on his face. Let's be honest. He would have been, is emboldened the word?
Yeah,
he'd be saying, let's go after the Herald. I want to own the Herald.
Right.
I want to be editor-in-chief of the Herald.
Talk about rape and pillaging.
I mean, yeah.
It would have been the Herald and Matt Walsh and,
yes,
and the island of Hawaii itself.
Then it would end with the little smirk.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed that he's not here.
I'm disappointed because I thought I'd have the show off, and instead I'm in this stupid chair.
We can only
I planned
hope.
On you and Fred arguing for 2 hours.
Well, I had to tell you.
I was going to be over there eating.
There wouldn't have been, well, hopefully he can come down and get all that out of his system.
Yes.
At some point,
you could only
show.
Take so much of that from Fred.
Yeah, I know. And Tom accurately portrayed it because
damn Skippy.
In my mind, I would say to myself, I just don't really want to get into it with Fred. But I know at some point he would say something that was just so outlandish that I would feel.
Because he'd be baiting you.
Oh, no question.
That little emboldened state would be used
time.
On you.
Yeah, because he knows. He knows me better than any
he'd
of
you. He'd be reeling you in.
And he knows exactly how to get me into one of those stupid arguments. And I know that
and he'd
at
be
some
looking
point,
for it.
Oh, yeah.
At some
he'd
point, he would
it.
Say something so outlandish that I wouldn't be able to let it go.
And this one could actually have degenerated into a mean one because it's a big issue and he's going to be so annoyingly pompous about it that you would get mad and you call him a liar
skinny.
All of a sudden things
liar.
Are being said and we're taking breaks
liar
he did
might.
That one time and I
yeah.
thought he was
but
gonna
he lied
take,
he
take
lied that
chair and crack you over the head
so I think that, you know, Fred is just costing our listeners an entertaining informative angle plus he's the one who feels most passionately about the topic.
Well, yeah, because he's upper management,
right.
And
he talks to Jonathan.
He talks with the crafts.
Right.
We don't get that opportunity, so
he would have brought the most passion, and instead he's choosing, you know, the carpet that's going to be in the foyer in the new museum or something.
Of course, he does not. We're 100 people
because Brian Morey couldn't possibly pick his own carpet.
couldn't pick his nose.
Terrible.
Now, is there any way that that's where Fred is now, rather than picking carpet for the museum with Brian Morey, he maybe is dealing with upper management
sure.
in some
yeah, that's
way,
a possibility.
Shape, or form?
Yeah, it could be that.
Because they could be talking. I mean, let's be honest. The idea of suing the Herald has been thrown out there by a lot of different people based on the pre-Super Bowl report.
We should say not necessarily from inside this building.
No, no, no. I'm just saying in
right.
general.
No,
like
but I don't want to
media,
mislead anybody.
Legal observers.
Yeah.
All the different people. And who knows? Maybe it is a possibility. Maybe Fred's involved with some of it. We know he's a mouth and an ear that the Krafts care about. They talk to him. He has ideas, all that. Or it could just be formulating a public response to it. You know, some sort. You know, Stacey will have some sort of a release he puts out, and Fred could be involved on those levels with that type of a thing. Who knows? But he should be here.
Yeah, he should be here.
And this show is big now. Between noon and two, he should say, "I got something."
Right.
Yeah, I'll think.
Robert, I'll be there at two. You just
my whole thing on this is I had to wait 6 months for this. You know, like this all took 6 months for nothing.
This is what we've been talking about too. Is
you know,
the longer time went by, we all kind of figured
right.
He's not going to have that one item that was going to cause this story to be taken into a whole nother level.
And we even knew
that was the tape,
the
actual walkthrough,
because we'd heard rumors that the lawyer was saying, oh, well, we have new stuff. And what he had was offensive signals, which is, it's different, but it's.
But listen, the NFL is not going to make a huge stink over
right.
that.
No, they don't want
to. They don't want to, right. I mean, if it was, if you taped a Super Bowl walkthrough, you force the NFL's hand.
Right.
They have to come down on you. But offensive signals, they're simply going to say that falls in line with the Patriots admitted. And that's it. The only thing I don't get is when, like we all said, the media kind of went after him, Matt Walsh meeting. Like they tried to get him to talk. Why didn't he just say, you know, I have some stuff, but it's not, you know, it's not, I don't have anything that's going to make a big deal. So, and then just get him off his back.
I agree with you. I think that Walsh himself, I think, did this whole process a disservice, because I think that...
Look at that douchebag.
I think that he was content to make it look like he had more than he actually did.
I think the role of Fred.
I will maintain what I've said all along, and I'm going to reserve judgment because I don't know what he has.
Right,
and
we don't know
and
for
I'm gonna,
sure.
I'm going to wait to see what happens on the 13th when he has the meeting and to see what he says, and then, you know, I guess we'll have to reevaluate from there. But right now, it certainly looks like he doesn't have what a lot of people openly wondered whether or not he did. And that's a good thing for the Patriots.
And but, I'm just wondering why, on his end, he let this Rams thing go. Couldn't the lawyer just come out and say he has certain things that he's going to turn over to the NFL, but he does not have a copy of the Rams walkthrough. He owns nothing of the sort,
right.
And so drop that. Instead, he just let it go.
I'll take you a step further, Tom, and back in what you just set up. Why today does his lawyer come out with a
right.
definitive statement saying that he was not the source of that February 2nd story in the Boston Herald?
Right.
He could have done that 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's not going to get sued over that.
No.
I mean, it's...
There's no indemnification needed for that. This kind of stinks to me.
Yeah.
This whole process stinks to me.
And for the issue you have, though, dating back to the report, and sort of a crossing of wires here is,
oh,
just because he doesn't have the tape does not mean the practice was not taped.
Which is why I'm reserving judgment till the 13th
right.
to see what Matt Walsh says. If he says that he taped it, but I don't have a tape, then I think you need to reevaluate that and decide, you know, based on what he's saying, if you believe him or what the rest of the story. It makes a little bit more sense from Matt Walsh's perspective if he actually did do the taping. Now, To get what you're talking about, Andy, and we talked about this, the three of us, upstairs before the show, everybody now is completely dismissing the Herald report.
Right.
Well, I don't think anything that happened yesterday dismisses anything that the Herald wrote. The Herald wrote, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is pretty close, according to an unnamed source, a member of the Patriots video department taped the walkthrough of the
yes.
Rams Super Bowl 36. Matt Walsh says he's not the source, okay? He didn't say he didn't do any of the taping or that the taping didn't happen. So why is everybody now automatically, this now disputes the story from the February 2nd Boston Herald? I don't really see it that way.
It doesn't. I agree with you.
I don't see it that way.
Now, my question is, May 13th, are we going to find out what he says? Knowing the NFL's track record of not keeping anything quiet.
But I hope so, because they've kept too much in the dark already. Right. I mean, get it all out there. They need this to go away. They can't keep putting things, you know, on the back burner.
Actually, we're going to find it out, because Spector's going to talk to him. Spector's going to
Spector's trying to talk to him. Spector wants him to go to Washington that same day after he's done in New York.
Well,
according to what I read today, he's trying to make that happen. He's trying to facilitate that.
I thought that was just, you know, they don't have the specific flight number he's on yet. I thought it was planned.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's a formality. Maybe it's a formality, and it will happen.
Because if Spector hears, then Spector's going to – I mean, that guy holds a press conference every time he farts.
Doesn't the NFL, though, need to
Speaking
do this?
not
the meeting itself with Walsh. Now, when Walsh has his his disclosure –
I want to know who cut the cheese.
Tom.
That doesn't necessarily need to be in front of anybody. But doesn't the NFL have to have a press conference with regular media?
I don't know what the NFL has to do.
No,
I think they do?
Like Tom said, they've kept so much in the dark at this point. They should be bending over backward right now.
I think they screwed this thing up. Sorry.
And plus,
well,
Goodell
I agree.
Likes
I think this is all, in large part, the NFL's own fault.
Yeah, and Goodell likes to see himself on TV, so I'm sure he'll talk.
But he doesn't always do the league good when he's on TV. He says things that end up spinning out of control. But obviously, that's the topic of the day here at Gillette Stadium
and throughout
the world.
I agree with Paul real quick, though. If the NFL had those tapes that we think that they had, just the same things, if they had just released those, I think this would have been a much smaller deal on so many levels. It's when you hide that stuff, it gives media people a reason to speculate.
It's the appearance of impropriety.
Right, and it's not just media. It's human nature. If someone's like trying to hide something, you assume, well, they have something to hide.
I got to admit, that kind of happened to me. I didn't really think it was a big deal. All season long, I didn't think it was a big deal. And all of
then
a sudden,
destroying things in 24 hours.
It was that Super Bowl press conference that I listened to Goodell talk, and I all of a sudden
contradicting
said,
himself.
Why is he hiding? What is he hiding from? What is he doing? And I started to think back. Why did he destroy those tapes if there was nothing on them? Why did he come down so hard on the Patriots if there was nothing to it? It just didn't make any sense to me. And he kind of made me think it was a bigger deal than I thought it was.
Because he kept saying it wasn't a big deal. Then he kept saying we gave the harshest penalty ever. So those two
things
weren't connected.
Yeah, his actions to me were inconsistent. And that kind of got me, you know, and that's probably led to all my arguments with Fred.
I think he's a buffoon.
So we'll blame him on Goodell.
Not Fred. Well,
and I like Goodell.
Goodell is sort of the LaDainian Tomlinson of commissioners. Everybody loved him when he came in because he had all these ideas.
That's a good one.
Well, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be open. Then all of a sudden he started doing stuff and it started spiraling out of control in the other way.
Next thing you know, you're playing games in Japan.
Right.
We were talking about the LaDainian Tomlinson thing too, and Tom made the point. It's like ever since that playoff game in San Diego 2 years ago, and Tom was sitting there listening to him talk about what a classy guy he was and how everybody knew him and that's not his style. But from that point on, he has done very little right. He's actually
become one of the more unlikable players in the NFL.
Probably the most.
And trying to tell us how good of a person he is, he's done nothing but look like a bad person ever since.
And I think that in the ESPN interview, it continued because you're playing with a quarterback that ripped his knee up, and you're already telling us when you're going to retire. You know what I mean? Like, I think he lacks a ticker. I think he's a great player, and you give him the football, and he can. But I think inside he lacks a little bit of a ticker.
I agree. He's already talking about retirement. He's already retired. But talk of the day is Spygate here at Gillette Stadium. Spygate throughout the world of football.
I think it's Cameragate.
I'm watching ESPN, and it keeps saying Spygate, Spygate, Spygate.
You want to be on the same level with ESPN with Bill? Go ahead.
Well, take the paycheck,
actually.
But that's the topic on the table, webradiopatriots.com, if you want to join us. We have a ton of emails. We'll get through some of the old emails that have our PFW in Progress T-shirt slogans. There's some decent ones through here. But send more slogan ideas, thoughts on Spygate, or whatever else you want to chat about. 508-543-7482 if you want to call, 508-543-7482. And our boy Strippers has come through. We have to thank him for a tremendous spread. We got our subs.
Thanks,
we got
Strippers.
Everything we normally get. And he even threw in a little bonus.
Yeah, bonus.
Little plain chicken fingers with honey mustard sauce. And I got to say, they're pretty good.
Yeah, they are. They were good. And I'm surprised Strippers is in such a good mood. I keep hearing these bad reports from Oklahoma's spring practice. Having trouble with this, having trouble with that, all these injuries. I'm surprised he's in such a good mood.
Well, he's in a great mood because he clearly has a lot of jobs. And as a thank you for lunch, I'm going to read our website. It might take a while. Get back to me in 5 minutes. thebestautoinsurancerates.com.
Yeah, that's about the best auto insurance rates.
All one word.
You either make that a favorite or you never use it.
Right.
Not typing that in.
Thebestautoinsurancerates.com. But, you know, maybe some of our listeners in Massachusetts need that with all this deregulation crap.
Yeah, you suddenly have options now in Massachusetts.
Or if you're elsewhere, you know, if you're in Phuket and you need auto insurance, that may or may not help you. I don't know.
Strippers, I heard, just in case, I heard Las Vegas has terrible auto insurance rates. Now, if I go to your website and type that in, now that gives me the best rates in, like, Las Vegas. Is that how it works?
That's the theory. Thebestautoinsurancerates.com.
I say I go there, I click on something, and a pair of boobs pop up.
No, he claims it's one of the sites that doesn't have nudity, non-adult site.
One of his non-adult sites.
But
that he
another great lunch. Thank you, strippers. You're the best. And I'm reading out of Pittsburgh that Limus Swede has really latched on to Hines Ward. They're getting on phenomenally, and they expect 110 catches out of him as a rookie. Just almost swallowed the mic. Anyway, guys, got anything else, or should I get right into emails? Because I feel like we're going to have a lot of opinions, and there's boatloads of emails here.
I got nothing.
Suddenly we're popular. Last time I hosted the show, we used to struggle to get emails. Now there's 50 waiting before we go.
I should make an official announcement.
It's been a long time since you hosted the show, then.
The Sports Exchange has now lost one member. I've officially resigned, and they've accepted my resignation. I'm free at last. So that's
Does that mean
it,
I'm maybe. Out, too?
No, you, that means you're going to
sure
pick,
as hell not doing
I was
the whole thing.
Say, you're picking up more days.
Maybe Eric will do it.
So how did that go? You just officially said this is...
I just said I'm going to explore other options at this time.
And, looking to move in a different direction?
Yeah, move in a different direction.
Yeah, maybe I'll see if Eric wants to do it.
Oh, boy.
He writes terrible stuff. We send them terrible stuff. It'll work out.
I've been sending them Eric's stuff for the last 3 months.
Well, that's the actual selling point is, Eric, you've been doing Sports Exchange for 6 months. Yeah, might as well get the paychecks
Eric,
now.
Eric and I have been writing for the Sports Exchange for quite some time. However, we've never been paid as
that's
such.
That's true. I'll buy you a lunch one of these days. How about PFW in progress, talking Pats and dishing smack?
It's not bad.
That's from Steve Borgioli in Amherst. It's not terrible.
I'll say it was good because he's Italian.
It's one of the better ones we've gotten, I think.
PFW in progress, all things Patriots.
Who wrote that, Fred?
Or the Boston Globe.
Marvin in Greensboro, North Carolina, also wants to know about our kicker situation.
Okay.
Steven Gostkowski is the kicker.
He's the only kicker on the
roster. They haven't brought a kicker in 2 years.
Unless it's an important kick, he'll handle the field goals. Then they'll just go for it.
And no one will ask Bill about it.
See, that's the kind of stuff that gets us in trouble right there, Randy. See? You're always looking at the negative.
You wanted me to host,
you're
and
always
when
picking
I host,
at the negative. Why? You wouldn't have said that if you were sitting over there?
No, probably not. I would have been eaten. Tuesday, should I go? What, how, now, I know you guys
like
get worked
go,
up.
I like to go to the kind of the recent ones. If they're too far back, then I just delete them.
Well, this guy is...
I mean, if you see a lot of slogans, you want to read like 3 or 4 slogans, then you want to bounce around to maybe something...
Okay,
I
got a new slogan.
...germane to what we're talking about.
Fred, I think, is like 2 weeks behind.
Oh,
we're still talking
Fred
about the draft.
Fred reads him in order.
Yeah, plus his phone rings. I don't have a phone with me, so it won't ring. Brian Boisvert in SoCal. Patriots talk online, in print, and off the cuff.
Certainly accurate.
Yeah. It's not bad.
Oh, the slogans are rolling in now. This one titled Tomasi. Interesting. Huh. From MPH.
Oh, that's Matt and Quincy.
That's Matt and Quincy.
Oh.
Matt and Quincy, who, by the way, Andy, I should
Jesus Christ, they're coming in a mile a
minute. Andy, I should let you take this one, too. Matt from Quincy emails me from time to time asking me about different prospects. And he asked me about Matt Dillard, the safety from Louisiana Tech, said he hadn't heard much about him. So I gave him my opinion. Would you like to give him your opinion of Matt Dillard, the safety?
Guy plays safety in no man's land. Doesn't cut in front to try to make a play. Isn't in position to make a tackle. He's a camp body.
Did you see this play?
What happened?
In the Dodgers game, some guy has
he caught the with the baby?
A baby in one arm with a glove on the other, and he caught the home run.
I guarantee Deidre would chew me out when I came home if I was
well,
on TV trying to catch that.
First of all, the guy should be
that.
Killed for being that age and having a glove at a baseball game.
But no, but
that's another whole story.
Deidre would kill me
itself.
For not running in the opposite direction when a ball was coming from 400 feet away.
You know, the only guy that age that wears a glove at a baseball game is Doug Flutie. You know what I think of him.
Gary's busy. Hey, guys, I have believed from the beginning that the Pats cheated. So you sure this is Matt and Quincy? Isn't he a Patriots fan?
MPH is Matt from
Matt
Quincy.
And Quincy. I think you can find a million ways to minimize it, but I do not believe that the news today clears the team of past wrongdoing, and I think it's a stigma that will stay with them for a long time. First of all, they're not being cleared. They're being cleared from any additional terrible cheating.
They're being cleared.
They
of
were
the
punished very hard, very harshly for that cheating.
Yeah, there was a widespread rumor that they had taped the walkthrough. This at least puts that on the back burner.
His next paragraph. That being the case, I think John Tomasi has a credibility problem going forward, covering the team and being a sports reporter in this town. As journalists, I wonder what your thoughts are today on what it must be like for Tomasi. I always thought he was a pretty good reporter. He comes off as competent and likable on TV and radio. But let's face it, he is radioactive in this town now. Does the Herald stand by him? Do they forsake him in the interest of better relations with the team? Is this the worst nightmare of a reporter who is under pressure to break stories? My guess is they stand by him, he stands by his anonymous source, and he slowly makes a graceful exit from the Boston scene. Please give us an idea of where you guys stand regarding Tomasi and what he's going through.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably tough for him. Paul, you've been in this business more than me, but I remember one of the last classes I took at school was talking about how these anonymous sources are becoming more prevalent because of the Internet now.
Absolutely.
That are breaking stories. So papers, you know, 10, 20 years ago would normally not touch those unless you had really strong, strong information. And now it seems like more and more, especially in sports, you're reading anonymous source, because if you don't, it's going to be on Pro Football Talk and you're out.
Competition
you have
has
to
led
have,
to le- lower yeah. standards in sourcing.
I totally agree with that, and that's unfortunate. But it
wasn't
is,
the
it
like
is
if
fact.
You didn't have two, you couldn't print it, right?
Right. That's what we always heard, like growing up.
For me, growing up, you know, before I was ever even in the business, All the President's Men was a landmark movie in the mid '70s about the Watergate situation. It was based on a true story. It's Woodward and Bernstein. You're looking at me like you never heard of any of
them. No, I just haven't
Richard
seen
Nixon?
It. I haven't seen it.
Richard Nixon, you ever hear of him?
I'm not a crook. I know it.
Okay. Anyway, it's Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford playing Woodward and Bernstein. And the big thing was Ben Bradley, who was the editor of the Washington Post, or whatever, Washington. What was the? Is it the Washington Post?
I think
the Post.
So, yeah. I saw the movie.
He was played by, I believe, Jason Robards in the movie. His big thing was, I need two sources.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole thing. That's not necessarily a rule.
A rule,
that
yeah,
was
right.
That paper's
right.
rule.
But I mean, that's what I was taught in my journalism.
Certainly
classes.
You would not ever find that today.
And obviously it varies. I mean, if Robert Kraft tells you something, you're a reporter and Robert Kraft says X, you don't need a second source.
You don't need
Robert
a second
Kraft.
Source.
It's his team.
Now, I heard an interesting thing today talking about this. On the radio this morning, I'm not going to credit the person that came up with it. It's an old newspaper guy, and his line of thought was, mentality was, if I used an anonymous source and that story was proven to be incorrect, he had an agreement with that source, and he told them this before he ever printed the story. He said, if this story ends up being untrue and it comes out that it's untrue, then I'm going to name you as the source. And I'm gonna expose you, and that puts a little pressure on an anonymous source to not just have an axe to grind with someone, and then hope that no one ever finds out that it was him, you know, when it's wrong. So I thought that was kind of an interesting way of looking at it too. But in terms of John, I agree with Matt. I think that the Herald will probably stand by him and stand by the story and stand by their source. I think that the end game here is probably going to be that Tomasi is going to have to come off the Patriots beat.
Right.
Now, he's still here. He was at rookie minicamp last week. He's trying his best to kind of get on with business here.
It's going to be tough.
I think it's going to be tough for him in terms of being in the locker room and being around Foxborough trying to get people to talk to him. I don't think that's going to be an easy thing. I've seen it happen in the past in this town. Dan Shaughnessy was frozen out of the Celtics beat because he reported on a story about Larry Bird.
Right.
Mike Felger was frozen out of the Bruins beat, and really, to a lesser extent, frozen out of the Patriots beat at various times for some of the inflammatory things that he's said and written. So it's not unprecedented. I think that's going to have to be the end game here for John. I don't think he has to leave the area. I think what happens is people around here take their sports so seriously and they're such passionate fans that they mistake a story for being that Tomasi did this because he wanted to do this.
Right.
He wanted to get it wrong. First of all, we don't even know if it's wrong. Second of all, I really don't think there was any ill will or malice involved on the part of Tomasi in this story. But it will be interesting to see how it unfolds going forward.
And, you know, if you guys know anyone out there we know that he's been threatened, his family's been threatened. We don't need that. Nobody needs that. It's sports. You know, we don't need his family threatened because he wrote something that Patriots fans don't like. I mean, that's beyond acceptable.
Well, that's what I was talking about with, I think the fans confuse the fact that he wrote a story that wasn't flattering for their favorite team with that's what Tomasi wanted, is to be unflattering to the team. And I think, you know, it just as easily could have been a groundbreaking story about something positive, and he would have been just as eager to get that out there with an anonymous quote.
Right.
That's what we're talking about with the competition. You want it. That's what it's all about for those guys, and that's what we play at a different level here,
right?
Because
it's,
we don't have the pressure. We don't have that pressure. We don't operate under those.
It's tough.
If you don't break stories, you're gone.
It's tough.
You're gone.
We get emails a lot, and you'll read on message boards that this is journalism. This is journalism. Trust me, journalism isn't what you were taught in school 10 years ago anymore. It's just with all this competition, with all this pressure, it's just not the same. And that's why you're seeing more of the unnamed sources. That's why it's like you said, Paul. You know, I know Albert Breer said to me when he was leaving for Dallas, he said, you know, this is going to be a whole new world because, you know, they tell you right there, we need you to break stuff or we will replace you.
Right.
Yeah. It's that simple.
And I'm guessing in Dallas, they actually do the replacing with a football crazy place
that.
In Boston, those kinds of things were said, no question, but it was rare to see a guy who was kind of a vanilla reporter just kind of went about his business every day and got killed on his beat. And then, you know, they usually would just find another place for, you know, maybe kind of de-emphasize him in that regard and make him do different stuff. But I never really saw anybody get fired because they didn't break any stories. But I think you're right, Tom. The internet is increasing the amount of pressure on guys to come up with fresh things in a timely fashion. It's the rush to be first.
And even someone like Stripper's website, you know what I mean? Like, you don't necessarily have to be a journalism major or reporter to break stuff anymore. You have thedirty.com. Next thing you know, T.O.'s in a porno. That's,
I hadn't seen that picture of Brady with Jay-Z and A-Rod. How long has that been out? How did I miss that?
Well, it was last night.
Oh, it just happened.
I'd heard about it. Oh, yeah. You know, Monday night.
That picture was just taken last night?
Yeah, Tuesday night.
Oh.
No, he hasn't been here all week. He had to go to the Metropolitan Museum of Art for some gala Monday night. Then A-Rod and Jay-Z had some party. He had A-Rod, A-Fraud, and Jay-Z. You pick who's who.
A-Rod, didn't the Yankees play last night? I mean, I know
he's hurt.
I understand he's hurt, but aren't you supposed to be somewhat involved with the team?
I guess he's headed to Florida for some reason.
His wife is right. He is a wimp.
Yes. But, yeah, Brady hasn't been here all week. But Fred, you know, as soon as he came back, Fred said he'll be here, he'll be where. And he doesn't even have the woman as an excuse because Giselle went to Europe. So he's in New York by himself. Well, not by himself, but he's in New York going to these parties, you know, just because he wants to and, you know, doesn't have time to get back for a workout. Just one last thing on Tomasi. I think we need to be careful, too, and I think Matt is – we've all read the crazy comments on the Herald, some of Tomasi's stories, people getting way too personal, way too angry. But I do think, like we say about a lot of these things, that's a small portion of the population here, Patriot. That, you're talking about
I don't think he necessarily needs to leave the area.
1% of 1% there.
If one person threatens his wife, that's one person too many. You know,
right, I agree with that. But hopefully those idiots will stop doing that and just say it's a guy doing his job.
Right. And, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, defend him or the story or whatever, but, you know, he was pretty upset a while back because those threats were coming
and he
in.
Should
about
be,
I've never
ridiculous.
Seen a kid that visibly upset
it's
about anything
re-goddamn
as I saw
ridiculous.
Him on Super Bowl Sunday.
Right.
Because that's when all those comments first rolled in, and he's away from home. He's got his, you know, his family to think about, and he's getting threatening emails about his family, and, you know, and who knows if one of these whack jobs is actually going to take him up on it.
You don't
it,
have
you know?
To like him as a reporter. You can disagree with everything
he says. You
don't
have to like the story.
You don't have to like the story. You don't have to, but, I mean, you know, don't take it too far.
We're getting diverse emails here, and I like this one. This is our boy Alejandro in Bogota. Bogota. Why can't I say it?
I don't know.
Never been there. But anyway, he's happy that, I guess he started the nickel package idea. He's happy that that's going strong. he has a T-shirt slogan, 18-1. We were at the game. I kind of like that one. Then he said, I came upon an SI piece on Pete Mandarich. I think he means Tony Mandarich, who supposedly was going to be the best offensive lineman
ever. SI archive thing is
taking on a whole new life.
SI vault, I'm telling you, you can waste one more endless hours at work reading old Sports Illustrated.
One quick thing, Andy, about Tony Mandarich before you get into this. There seems to be people now who all you hear is, well, he had slow feet, he had this, there wasn't a person alive who didn't think that guy was going to be great.
That
not
story right here
alive.
That Alejandro's talking about was by, I believe, Rick Tellender, who was a very, very good NFL writer, and you wouldn't believe none of that stuff was brought up. Any short arms or slow feet. Believe me, this was the offensive lineman that was going to make you forget about all past offensive linemen. That's what Tony Mandridge was supposed to be.
And he says, turned out to be a bust, draft number two, or blah, blah, blah. My question is, do magazines have an interest in hyping players? Yes and no.
I mean, this guy was a phenomenon. I mean, John Madden put him on the All-Madden team when he was in college.
Right. And what comes first, the hype, or do they catch on to wind of the hype and say, well, this is the next big thing, we got to have him on our cover? And then the other thing that, I don't know if it happened back then, but my guess is at this point, with all these huge marketing agencies and agents and CAA and IMG, that there's people involved in this. I don't know what you'd call it, but... you know, getting their athletes placed in magazines, saying, SI, why don't you do a story on, you know, DeBrickashaw Ferguson? He's the next big thing at offense. You know, I think that we've reached an age in the media where there's a lot of relationships that cross over behind the scenes with agents and marketing people. And so, yeah, they certainly.
It's all about money. I mean, they're not going to do a story on someone if they don't think it's not going to sell.
Right. Well, unless they owe somebody a favor for something. I think some of that
happens,
too.
Now you're going down a slippery slope and you owe too many favors.
I think it happens a lot. And his final question is, who is the George Steinbrenner of football, Jerry Jones or Dan Snyder?
I would say Jerry Jones because he's actually won.
Yeah. And I believe Jones and Steinbrenner have the same problem where – they actually want to win really bad. I've never questioned Jerry Jones' desire to win. My problem is he's inserted himself into the football decision-making. As an owner, I think he's great. So I think him and Steinbrenner are the same, that they want to win so badly that sometimes they make wrong decisions affecting the team.
That's another good point, because that's what Steinbrenner does. Well, you know, every once in a while he says, no, you have to make that deal. What Jerry Jones does constantly.
Until he passed away, apparently, because I haven't seen him in 2 years.
Right. Final thing I'll say is, Steinbrenner's a criminal. Or Jones, I mean, they're crazy owners. Steinbrenner's a criminal, right?
Right, yes. I'm not talking about that, though.
But,
Jones, but that was as a businessman. Well, you're talking about the other thing with Winfield, too. Okay. Yeah,
there's a number of issues there. I don't think they've taken it.
But he had real legal problems before that.
No, I know. Didn't he kill somebody? Have him killed?
I think that was Don King.
Oh, yeah.
But he did have I remember.
Well, he has legal issues.
Billy Martin
had
the famous line. I don't know exactly how he puts it, but he was talking about Reggie Jackson and George Steinbrenner, and he said, how did he put it? Something like, they're both born liars. One's convicted, and the other is. Strippers will come up with it for me or someone, but. I forget. It was one of those Billy Martin lines that was classic.
508-543-7482 for the person we mailed in with the subject line, say the call-in number, please. 508-543-7482. I said it at the top of the show. Open your ears. I'm just saying. This is Matt in South Dakota, just south of where the great Mike Dragosevich did his work.
Can I interrupt you before you read that email?
Now you're asking to interrupt. I like this new side of you.
Well, if you said no, I would have not said anything. Now they're previewing, you know, I'm watching the Nesson tape there. It just kind of repeats itself every 15 minutes. They're teasing that Tom Brady picture that they show as partying with the enemy. So am I to get this straight? I'm not hearing the audio, but Nesson has a problem with him being with A-Rod because it's A-Rod and not because he's not here working out.
They need to get me on that show.
That's interesting.
And by the way, A-Rod is a fraud Yankee. I mean... he opts out of his. I think A-Rod goes wherever A-Rod. You know what I mean? He's not one of those passionate.
Teammates don't like him. Fans don't like him.
I mean, he's not a Yankee. He's not going down as the greatest Yankee
ever.
But
my point is, I don't care that if he's partying with a Yankee or a Celtic or anybody else. I mean, the fact that he's not doing what we were hoping that he would be doing right now.
Well, so you're on board now?
No, I'm saying if you have a problem with
it,
that's
what you
have
on board. You're stepping off the dock and you're getting ready to get on the boat?
Maybe.
Oh, so you're on board.
He'll be here.
Oh,
I'm sure
he will be.
I just don't really worry about
someone
him.
Someone had to be Fred.
But Fred, Paul, it's not...
the best quarterback in football. I'm not really that
not
worried
the
about.
Physical. It's his spot on the team and the figurehead that's been promoted as such. That's what I think is taking a hit.
I know one thing. They lose to the Chiefs on opening day and people will be bringing this up.
That's very much like my Jeff Fry team. It's not the individual involved. It's the perception of it. It's the figurehead that is promoted.
Well, I think he's worked to promote this image.
Well,
so that's the issue. I do. do your press conference at a podium like the other 31 quarterbacks in the National Football League. Not in the locker room because I'm one of the guys. Mouth You're one of the guys. I didn't see the guys behind you in the photo with Jay-Z and A-Rod.
That doesn't have anything to do with how hard it works, though.
Maybe you should shut up.
Matt's slogan is PFW blows on the front of the shirt, and on the back it says, those other sports radio shows out of the water.
That's good.
Kind of like those shirts they sell like Fenway where it's like A-Rod blows, Jeter swallows, and all those.
Well, that actually is kind of dirty.
No, I know, but... Yeah, that's true. Good point. Terrible example, Andy. Strippers, how many wins for Detroit this year? Kitten already said 10. Yeah, he's been saying 10 for years.
I know.
He's like me saying Johnny Damon stinks. He finally stinks.
I'm going to go with 10. Sooner or later,
right.
It's going to be
sooner or later, Detroit will win 10 games. Paul, this is for you. It's from our boy Matt. He just wanted to be clear. He meant Tomasi might have to leave the area due to credibility issues. He certainly doesn't want any harm to come to his family.
No, I knew that.
And as he said, he actually thinks he's pretty good.
Yeah, no, I knew that, Matt. I knew that's what you were talking about. It was more because of credibility. I just don't think that I don't think that's a big issue. I don't think his credibility is the one that then that's the problem. The problem for him is I don't think he's going to get anybody in Foxborough to talk to him.
Correct.
And I don't think that allows him to do his job. Whereas he goes to the Red Sox, they don't care.
Which, by the way, is now a national issue. We were talking about this off the air. We've discussed it on this program before, the relationship between the Globe, the Herald, the Patriots, Belichick, all that. Colin Cowherd on his radio show today on ESPN, the national syndicated show, whatever, was talking about how it's pretty much widely known that, you know, the Boston Globe is the inside paper with the Patriots, has a good working relationship with the Patriots, and the Boston Herald, because they reported on Belichick's private life and things with his son and different matters, is on the outs and is basically, you know, what do they say, persona non grata, mm-hmm. paper non grata in these parts.
And that's why that ESPN insider guy that always posts on those message that ESPN message board.
We have an email about that coming
we
up.
We do?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that.
What, do you know something about that?
Well, just the guy, he calls ESPN the network non grata all the time. Some guy emails me about it all the time.
I certainly don't want to be aligning myself with his phrases. Strike that from the record.
That you don't think that guy's like an insider?
No.
Two things about that makes me believe that it can't happen. One, he just says stuff that I could write that exact same post. And two, if he was an insider and he was telling stuff that Bill knew was inside,
he'd be an outsider.
Everybody's computer in this company would be
that's how I
taken monitored and found out
well,
who exactly
all,
it was, and he would be fired on the spot.
They already monitor everything. I mean, they know virtually everything that goes on with your computer.
But if they
did you hear the guy come over to Eric the other day? Eric, you have a program on your computer called ... and it's trying to update automatically or something. Can you disable that because we don't want you doing that or something?
Right.
It's like instantaneous. They knew his computer was sending a message to something to update, and Big Brother is watching here. Big Brother is watching.
And they would find out if you were giving out any kind of information from football operations, they would snuff you out and you'd be gone. And
plus his last one was dumb. It was I really think Crable has the physical tools and to make the team or something.
I think Tom has
where's
it
that inside
right
info?
In the head. Because if there was an ESPN insider or a Patriots insider on ESPN, and then he posted one thing that they saw that was accurate, that would be the last time you see him post.
Right.
They would figure out who it was.
Right.
And it surprises me that a lot of the Patriots, I shouldn't say a lot, but some of the people there believe him, because if you follow this team, you must know Bill Belichick. You must know what kind of. I mean, there's no way he would allow anything like that.
But it's
none.
Things are so tight that the idea of actually having somebody in their group who is an insider, I think, is so alluring to them. It's like when Eric thinks a hot girl likes.
Right.
We all know it's not true. He knows in his mind it's not true that the hot girl likes him, but he's just there's that one in a million chance.
The only thing on those that you can look out for is there are times when there is people that are close to individual players.
Right.
Let's say there's a close friend of a player. Let's say, for argument's sake, Brady had a very close friend that likes to go on these message boards. There's a chance that if you really pay attention, you might be able to figure out, hey, this guy has said five or six different things specifically about something, and he's been right every time. He's been proven correct. This guy knows what he's talking. And then you can kind of figure out, it seems to always have something to do with Brady or whatever. There was a Kevin Falk guy about 5 years ago. Remember Garce?
Yeah,
on one of those boards. I think it was on KFFL. He always had Kevin Falk information and it was always right. told me that it was someone that was pretty close with Kevin Falk.
Right, but as far as coming from the football staff here, I mean, I took a wrong turn one day, and I felt a bullet go by my head. It's not going to happen.
They had you like D. Brown, face down in the pavement.
Well, I gave out the number for Paul in L.A., and Paul in L.A. is on the line joining the show. Paul, what's up?
We love L.A. Hey,
excellent. You guys will be out here enough times, 2008, for God's sakes.
That's true. You going to hook us up? You got parties for us?
Oh, huge, gigantic parties. They're huge New England parties out here. There's actually a bar in L.A. called, I'm too drunk right now to remember, but it hosts New England parties. Like taking a portal back to Boston. It's great.
Wait a minute. Why are you drunk at 9:45 a.m.?
Because I live in L.A. That's what we do.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Not your liver. So what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to say, first of all, I love the show. I think you guys are great. I think it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it consistently. I have no witty slogans for you guys, but I think that your comments regarding Goodell, I think it was important that he came down pretty hard. It sounds weird, but in a way, because it seems so weird that not weird. I guess what I'm saying is, it seems so harsh because
put the tequila down, man.
Put down the shot and speak, son.
All right, hold on. I just got to put down the bowl. I think he had to come down harsh on the Patriots because if he didn't set precedence, it would have it would have gotten ugly. If he'd gone a little light and then other things came forward, it would have seemed kind of like he went easy on them. He had to come down harsh, no matter how small or how little evidence floated to the surface.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with how hard he came down on the Patriots. My point is, don't tell me that it wasn't a big deal and then feel like you needed to establish this big precedent. That to me is two contradictory actions. I didn't really so much have a problem with what he came down with as a punishment as much as I did him coming down with an unprecedented punishment and then telling me it really wasn't that big a deal. Well, if it wasn't that big a deal, why did you need to set such a harsh precedent so no one else did it?
Because he had to do it.
Why?
Even if it's not a big deal, if he doesn't go harsh on it, if he doesn't make a strong statement about it, he looks weak. He has to make a strong position in order to look like he's taking, he's taking serious action on it. If he, how does he deal with the next thing? How does he base it? How does he balance
it? But Paul, wasn't that serious of an issue, why did he have to take such a serious action? Is my question.
But you're not listening to the answer.
I am listening to the answer.
Okay,
so I'm absolutely listening to the answer.
You're asking me why did he take such a strong measure on something that he quote said is not a big deal.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. He has to take a strong stance on it because I'm going to tell you why. Because
but that's not an answer.
Yes, it is. I'm telling you.
Playing the role of Fred today is Paul in L.A.
Thanks, Paul.
Hey, thank you. That's good. We both went to Emerson, so I feel like, we're both.
Well, you both can't speak. Both.
That explains it.
I can articulate. I just can't think. How do you base that balance? Where is the measuring stick as to where the intent, how much of a penalty to present? That's the answer I'm trying to get to. Is where do you set, okay, so for videotaping it's this, for, steroids it's here, if it's, raping cheerleaders it's over here, whatever the, how do you create
that balance? You really
are, Fred. How do you create that stick?
I mean, Paul, I guess what I'm just trying to say here is, if you feel like it's something that you need to establish a precedent, I don't have a problem with the punishment that he doled out. I mean, I thought it was on the harsh side, and I said it at the time. I thought it was a little bit harsh, but okay, you want to establish a precedent, make sure this doesn't happen again.
Right.
Then after that, don't tell me it's not that big of a deal, because those two things to me are contradictory. Tell me it is a big deal. My rules are a big deal, and I want them followed, and that's why I'm doing this. Don't tell me it's not that big a deal. And I'm talking to Goodell, not you.
I know. I think that he's putting a positive spin on it's no big deal.
Exactly.
I think
he's trying too hard to tell me it's not a big deal. Yes. Exactly.
Well, I don't think he's trying too hard. I think he was trying to establish precedence, and I don't think the precedence I don't think it's that easy to create a precedence regarding these type of, you know, I don't know what even to call them. I guess cheating. There, it came out of my mouth.
That word works.
Yeah, that's the word that works. And
but it hurts. It's still not easy to say, you know.
No, it's not. Look, the three of us are here working, you know, for the team.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's certainly not easy for us either.
Yeah.
But, you know, I understand your point of view.
Hey, Casale, how do you feel about Dallas being on Hard Knocks next year?
Tom, how do you think about Dallas being on Hard Knocks next year? He's actually getting a water out of the refrigerator.
Sorry, I thought you and Paul were going to go for another 10 minutes. You know, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, Jones likes to do that kind of stuff. I think the stadium's a big thing. You know, we've all said here that they're going to talk a lot about the new stadium. They're going to show you some inside stuff with it and blah, blah, blah. Personally, if I was running the team, I really wouldn't want HBO hanging around filming everything that I'm doing. But, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
All right, Paul.
They stick. They'll be 9-7 this year. 9-7.
Thanks, Paul.
When did Wendy Nix make the jump to host of a TV show?
Oh.
Wasn't she like a third-string Boston anchor, and now all of a sudden she's hosting ESPN News?
I think ESPN News isn't necessarily higher in the food chain.
Is it lower than us?
Well,
no.
Let's not get mentally
irregular. Well, we knew Paul was going to get in an argument with someone. We weren't sure who.
I thought Paul did a very good – not you. Paul from L.A. did a good job of being Fred. Like, he was saying things, and he didn't really know what he wanted to say, and then he'd tweak it a little.
Well, the only thing I thought that was a good call from Paul.
Emerson, the best arguers in the country.
The only thing I didn't really get around is he kept telling me that he was answering it, but basically he kept saying he had to come down that hard.
Because they'd be raping cheerleaders.
But that's
where he went with it. I didn't really get it.
That's the only part I didn't understand.
I mean, but I like the call, Paul.
I needed to know why he needed to come down that hard.
Anytime you're drinking and you want to give us a call, we're here for
you. Tell Paul he's not listening. Go ahead.
508-543-7482. Write that down so you don't need to send an email asking next time. This is from some guy whose name we apparently butcher. Vinicy?
Vines.
Oh, yeah. He gets into a whole thing. By the way, my last name is Vines, like the grapevine, not Vinez or thus Vinesy, pronounced Vinesy. I don't know.
Well, it's probably Eric trying to be too cute.
Best quote ever. How is this for a shirt? PFW, the poo only touches your back. I believe that was last week when I said I wash my butt, then I do my back, and then I do my face later after the poo is on my back. Seriously, keep the shirt simple. PFW, football was never so funny.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It works.
Yeah.
And then he has like, I think this is like a subhead or whatever. After saying keep it simple, he's got like another paragraph. Whether you're at work, on the can, cutting the lawn, or in a van, Patriots Football Weekly, podcasts of football for everywhere.
That wouldn't be on the shirt, but that could be part of like our advertising campaign.
Or maybe it could be like thin, like you could have a sentence that goes all the way around your waist.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
For you, we could write a book. I wasn't getting that. See, when I'm hosting, I don't have time to drift off.
I was like, you know, How I Met Your Mother. I was like, wait for it. There it is.
James in Roanoke Rapids, one of our regulars, our originals, good guy. I don't know him. I don't know why he's a good guy. Just checking in to let you know that I'm doing okay. What happened to James?
He's doing okay. Obviously nothing.
I know it has been a while.
James, you weren't on my mind.
I know it has been a while since I emailed or phoned in, but I just had to take a break from the NFL. There are a lot of Patriots fans who did that after the Super Bowl. Like, couldn't listen to sports radio, couldn't email, and couldn't read about it. I find that amazing.
Months? Like, the toughest...
I only do that after wins.
The toughest loss I ever had was that Niners game when they were going for the three-peat, the Cowboys.
Yeah.
And about a week later, you know, I was back to normal. It didn't take me months.
I've heard so many... We've had emailers say this. I know people that I've talked to have said that. It's amazing.
Christ, the players felt fine on the way back.
Yeah, Jabbar Gaffney was happy for some time off. Sorry, Jabbar. I was eavesdropping with Eric.
Okay. I guess we're just saying it now.
Well, you already said it, so. I know we have moved on from the ultimate disappointment that the Super Bowl ended up being for all Patriots fans a long time ago, but it has just been hard for me to get over it as I was focusing on the great season that the Patriots were having to help me cope with the loss of my father and other problems. See, now you're dragging us down. You're pulling an Eric here. Sorry to hear that, James. Once they lost the Super Bowl, those other issues made it much harder for me to... I have like a bad joke in my mind. Made it much harder for me to deal with it, along with the BS of Spygate. Heck, it took me 3 months before I could even watch an SI commercial celebrating the Giants' victory without getting sick to my stomach. Now I'm slowly getting back to where I am interested in the daily happenings of the Patriots and the league, so I will most likely be contributing to PFW on a regular basis again. Well, we thank you. Good to have you back, James. And if you've missed it, keep an eye out for Vince Red. He's the PFW spring and summer player to watch.
Yep. Just don't Google him.
Just don't Google him and click on the first story that pops up, because I get in trouble every time you do.
I will agree with James on the SI commercial thing. Those can be tough to watch. When your team loses a big game and then you have to watch those commercials over and over again, that's a tough one.
Okay.
What's the matter over there?
Right? I keep forgetting. That, our boy Todd in Nova Scotia, Gary, printed out an email he wanted me to read. Hey, boys. Subject is Eric? Yeah, I think that says it all right there. Eric?
That's true.
I'm still building my case that Eric is a serial killer. So my question is, so while Eric is blowing, insert giggle here, Eric is blowing some this...
You might want to read what's after blowing.
Oh, some of his gay disposable income by going to Egypt. Who's going over to Eric's house to feed a caged Craig from South Carolina? Who is in the cage in Eric's basement? I don't know what that means. Apparently, he's
a serial killer, and he has Craig held hostage. It's really not all that cryptic.
Oh, sorry, Todd. It was lost on me. I didn't get it.
He's a whole different person when he's in that chair. What have you done with Andy? Look, you got him all flustered now. Who is it?
Oh, who is it?
Hey, guys. It's Callie Girl.
How you doing?
Now it's time for Andy Hart. Urban Dictionary word of the day. That's word of the day.
That's word of the day.
I'm stunned she got through that.
That was well done.
How many takes, Gary?
But I'm guessing, much like he said for Chris Ferreira doing it, a lot of editing. Cali Girl, today we have one for you from Tom's area. The Dallas Dangler.
That one just makes me laugh.
Dallas Dangler. Can I read the rest, Gary? I haven't even previewed this. Is this, nope, not appropriate for on air. I'll pass the sheet to Paul so he can find out what it is. And I'll move on to an email. This is from, who the hell is this? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Something Robinson. Any combination of the following. PFW, blah, 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 whatever it is. I don't really understand that. PFW in progress. The lunch, munch, bunch, talk football. Sometimes.
That sounds like one of Fred's covers.
Yes. PFW in progress, the lunch munch bunch, all the porn, none of the pictures. PFW in progress, raising football talk to the next dementia. Fred, I think you meant dimension. PFW in progress, all the blah, 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 none of the yada, yada, yada about football. PFW in progress, a t-shirt never sounded so good. Not yours. Just kidding. We love the ideas. Keep them coming. Web radio at patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482. This is Alex Sanders. Hey, guys. How's that for a t-shirt? How's what for a t-shirt? I don't know. We gamble, we're on the juice, we fight ladies and teenagers, we like bad movies, and we reached these kids. Did you like Iron Man? I haven't seen it. Fred's the guy who really wants to see it, right?
I want to see it, too, but I probably won't. I'll wait for it to come out on
just
video.
Just raking in the dough.
Yeah.
Hundreds of millions
Fred
of dollars.
Fred is very, very excited about seeing it. Maybe that's where he is now.
This is Josh T. in Arlington. Paul said Tomasi would have been just as eager to get a positive story out there with an anonymous quote. BS.
For a groundbreaking story, if it was a story that no one else had,
right.
That's what I'm talking about, and I think that's true.
You're full of crap if you think those two types of stories generate the same type of urgency in the mind of a reporter. He went out there with this story, and if it proves to be false, he deserves to be humbled and shunned, just like if it were true, he would be right there to claim the adoration of the national media for breaking such a big story. Give me a break.
I agree. I think that's fair. If it's proven to be false, I think he deserves the slings and arrows that come with it.
Right, but let me ask you a question. Corey Dillon was here, right?
Sure.
All we heard was, give him a second chance, give him this, give him this. Randy Moss is here, right? All we hear is, give him a second chance, give him this, give him this.
Well played,
so,
young Tom.
When one of your players on your stupid favorite football team is a bad person, because Corey Dillon's one of the most miserable human beings I've ever met, and I've traveled with the guy, and none of you guys out there have, and I can tell you right now, the guy is a bastard. That's the point blank. So we got to give him 500 chances to prove that he's a good guy, but if someone else makes a mistake, we want him to leave the area? I just get, and I agree with you, Paul, that if it's not true, that if you don't want to read them, if you want to go on,
doesn't mean he needs to leave the area. No.
But, you know, it just amazes me that when an NFL player makes a mistake, we got, the media has to give him 800 chances to explain himself. But when someone else makes a mistake, it's they got to leave the area and go to Montana or whatever. I just don't understand.
And my point on the story, to me, it's the urgency is to break news that other people don't have. Not to break negative news. Now, obviously, that's Josh. That's what you think of John Tomasi, and that's fine. Look, that's your opinion, and you know, I might be clouded because I know the guy a little bit. I don't think that he had that urgency solely because it was a negative story. That's just my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but Josh, you have your opinion that he only did that because it was negative. And hey, I'm not telling you you're wrong. You might be right.
And let's play devil's advocate for a second. And I'm not trying to start any fights. I'm just playing devil's advocate. How many negative stories have you ever read from Mike Reese? Andy, how many have you ever read?
Zero.
So wouldn't that mean that he also has an agenda, but in a different light?
Could be.
I've often said that.
You know what I mean?
Not necessarily about Mike, but in general, somehow the guys that are always positive don't have an agenda. That's not true.
Right, and I'm not putting down Mike. You do what you do. You know, if he's getting inside information from the Patriot, that's fine. That's, you know, every city has a reporter that does that. Felger used to be the guy, for Christ's sakes. Yep. But I'm just saying, you look at Mike Reese and say, well, he's objective, but he's never written a negative story. Then someone writes a negative story and you want to run him out of town. Everybody has a reason that they do what they do.
I agree. This is Josh finishing up. That's a calculated risk on his part. No threats to his wife or family, but Boston fans should have every right to think he is a grade-A jackass who should not be making money in the market he was so ready to offer up for sacrifice.
See, that's the part that I'm disagreeing with. Why, because he wrote a negative story, does that mean he was offering up the market for sacrifice? There's somehow this tinge that he did this maliciously.
Right.
Like, he knew it was wrong. He knew it would hurt the team, and that's why he did it. I don't think that has anything to do with this. I think he did it solely for one reason, because he thought it was a story that no one else had, and he thought it would help him. Is it selfish? Yes. That's a reporter's job.
To break news.
And I got news for you. You people here in Boston are spoiled when it comes to that kind of stuff. Because I've already talked to Breer, and he said it's so weird, because down in Dallas, they don't give a crap. If they get something, you know, there's a lot of people in with Jerry Jones, but there's an understanding that the reporters do their business down there. And if they get it, they write it. Here in Boston, you hardly ever see anything negative written about the Patriots, ever.
And you don't really see a whole lot of breaking news in terms of the football team around here either. And that's because of the way Bill does business. He keeps a tight, tight lid on things, and very few exceptions of, you know, one outlet gets breaking news on a guy who's hurt that we don't know is already hurt. You know, a guy's going to miss three games because he's got an injury that we don't already know about. You know, one of those deals. So it's a different kind of environment. And I think you're right, Tom. I think people would be surprised to see how many of these kinds of stories break around the league on a much more consistent basis.
Gary, are we contractually obligated to do commercial breaks? Because I could go on forever. But we'll take a break right now.
4-0 New England. What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh my goodness! Michael Carthorst, are you kidding me?
Revolution. When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more. With a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
Lawrence from Jerusalem wants to know from the draft expert Scalavino.
I never claimed to be
one. If ex-patriot Randall Gay was man on man with Dakota Fagg, what would happen?
won't be having that problem since Fagg blew his.
Yeah. you know, now.
There goes those talents, folks.
His knee. His knee. Gary made me say something. His knee.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
And we're back here in PFW in Progress. I'd just like to point out, Gary gets all hot and bothered back there when you say something a little off color. Yeah. And then he turns it into an open with music and an announcer voice.
And we should add, Eric is not here today. I know you probably don't. We can't tell the difference.
We're an hour and 5 minutes in. Eric's not here.
Yes, he is Egypt by now, I guess.
I like that when... Sorry, through email is. I never claimed to be one.
Right. He got all mad immediately.
What a man.
Hey, there's the Matt Light commercial.
Yeah, I like how he got all skinny for a casual male XL commercial. Get a fat guy out there. Show me Brandon Gorn and his breasts hanging out.
Take me home, that's
the guy that needs that.
Country road.
I don't want to see Brandon Gorn and his breasts ever again.
Well, we won't have to worry about that. Gary, somebody's on the line in Methuen. Brian is on the line in Methuen. How are you today, Brian?
Hey, not bad. How about you guys?
Good.
Good, Brian.
What do you got?
I don't know about you guys. Are you guys concerned at all about Tom Brady not being here working out with the rest of the guys, kind of off-partying, having a good time?
I am very concerned. I think it's terrible. I think he's set a precedent of doing things one way, and now he's going in the other direction. And I'm the only one who's worked up, though. Paul's ready to put a half a foot on the bandwagon.
Well, and I'll just say one thing.
I'm not happy about it.
But I'll just say one thing. When you win a Super Bowl, that means you all started together at a certain point. You put all your effort into it, okay? Now, these teams that go to the Super Bowl then struggle the next year, I don't necessarily think it's because of lack of talent physically. I think mentally sometimes they're not as prepared as they were the year before, and you've seen that in the last few years with the losing Super Bowl team. So if they do get off to a slow start, I think you can look back at this and say they weren't mentally prepared as early on as they normally are to make these Super Bowl runs.
Right. Yeah, I can agree with that.
How do you feel about him not being here, Brian?
I'm a little worried myself. I don't know if he's just blown off steam. He had a tough year. You know, losing that Super Bowl might have really affected him. But, you know, he needs to, as a leader, he needs to be here, like you said, setting a precedent for the others to follow.
Yeah, I'm sure Matt Light would like to blow some steam off, or any other number of players who are here working out.
And the thing is, listen, Tom Brady's a great player. He can take this time off and still be great.
God,
and here's
yes.
the thing. If you're a rookie and you come in here and Brady's bench pressing and he's pushing it to the max, you have more desire to do that because you know he's the team leader. You're saying, man, he's working that hard. I got to work that hard. Without that presence here, then, you know, you don't have that to follow. He's the leader of this team.
That's the problem I have with that. I don't really care. I think some teams have been great without a great offseason program. I think some teams have stunk with a great offseason program.
Right.
But my whole point is we've heard veteran free agents, rookies, undrafted free agents say, you know, when you come in here and Tom Brady's, you know, working out at 7 in the morning, you just know how things work and you know what's expected. Well, now what's expected is to be partying in New York 2 months into the offseason program with Jay-Z and A-Rod.
Right, right. Yeah, I saw that, and I was that's what really made me concerned, seeing that.
Yeah, well, the issue here, you know, Fred Kirsch, again, who I'd love to have him here to discuss this topic, but he was pointing May 1st. As long as he's here by May 1st, we're fine. Well, he was here by May 1st, stayed for about 10 minutes, you know, did 3 push-ups with the perfect push-up that Fred gave him, and now he's back in New York.
And you don't want to have the work ethic of A-Rod, because that guy is a born loser. He's very talented, but he is a born loser.
The choke artist, too.
Well, that's what I mean. He's just mentally, he's very weak, and he's just going to always be a loser.
Right, right. Did you guys come up with a slogan yet?
Not yet. What do you got before we let you go?
How about TFW in progress, a mouthful of Pat's talk.
I don't think it's terrible.
It wasn't terrible.
That was as good as all the other ones.
Gary likes blowing people up these days.
Gary was going to blow him up regardless
right.
of what he said.
He could have said the most perfect slogan, and he was getting blown up there. Right, Gary? Yeah, we figured.
But in Gary's defense,
he
was just assuming that it was going to be terrible, and I can't blame you for that.
This feels like an email I should probably pre-read, but it's not my style. It's Kamani. Now that Eric's gone, let's talk serious about him. So let me get this straight. Eric went to Egypt alone to do what by himself? He says getting laid isn't a big deal to him. He doesn't even think to bring a date to his own photo gallery opening. Have we discussed this stuff on the air? Does this guy know stuff that...
No, we discussed it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah.
I'm really worried about him. He's looking bad. You guys have known him for a little while. Can you help him out, introduce him to, like, your wife's single friends or something? The guy can be
pretty shy.
This guy knows Eric, right?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, guy can be pretty shy. It feels like this guy knows Eric.
How would he know that he's not looking well lately?
Gary's doing that thing again where he's deleting emails and making my screen bounce around.
Next topic.
It was spam.
Oh. Yeah, we're all a little worried about Eric. We have our questions about him on a variety of different topics. but he's not really a topic of the show, and he'll get mad if he finds out. We've been talking about him for 2 weeks when he gets back from his solo venture around the world to
Although
Egypt.
Although not surprised.
And if Todd's right and he's a serial killer, then we're going to be at the top of the list. Certainly Andy will go about 8 times before Tom or I, but, you know.
Well, if he has time after choir practice. next up.
He just, like, laughs instinctively about
Louis
himself.
Martinez. It's about Ty Law. This is Louis in Tampa. Guys, can you tell me why the Pats haven't signed Ty Law? He wants a lot of money. We don't have the D-backs to shut down the Colts or a great passing team. Do you guys think Ty will be a Patriot? I think he'll be a great safety. What do you guys think? Keep up the good work.
When you say the Colts or a great passing team, who else do you mean?
Steelers.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
But basically, you mean the Colts.
Right. Yeah, he means the Colts. Ty Law wants a lot of money. That's the bottom line.
I mean, yeah, from what we've been told, Ty Law has been of interest here in Foxborough, but he's looking for some money, and I'm not sure at this stage of his career he's worth that money.
Right. And I've been told they would not even consider it that money.
I mean, no, I wouldn't think so. Not for the kind
I would.
You would give him $6 million?
Hypothetically speaking, $6 million. I would. I think I'd give him 1 year $6 million.
Because that's a number that's been thrown around there a little bit.
Certainly here.
I mean, I don't know if that's a number I'd be willing to go to. And I love Ty Law. You know that.
1 year $6 million, I'll pay him. I'll see what he's got left. I like a nice veteran corner, free safety, whatever you want to play him at, whatever he's got left in the tank. I'll use his instincts. Maybe he can teach my boy Wheatley something. I got no problem with that. You wouldn't?
I think that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's not my money. You, Tom?
Not $6 million. $3 million.
Oh. Well, maybe he'll be playing for the Jets then. This is Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire. Hey, guys. Okay. I know I'm a show behind. That's probably because the other show didn't get up until like Wednesday night at midnight.
Yeah,
or something.
I guess that was very late. The podcast got put
good
up.
Good job, Chris.
Chris Ferreira, nice job. I always am because I can't get that Real Player POS to work properly on streams, so I have to listen to it later when I can do it on Windows Media Player. This is all above my head.
Yeah.
I'm listening to Tuesday's broadcast, and I heard Casale say that people don't want to put the blame on BB. Well, I, for one, did exactly that, and I'll reiterate. It was his fault for not being able to adjust. You guys think the kick was the biggest mistake he made? Well, I think, and I have voiced this before to you guys, we have short memories, especially me, that putting Hobbs on Plaxico Burress on that touchdown was his biggest mistake. Why the F didn't he put Asante on him? If Asante is on Plaxico, I'm willing to bet we would have hoisted a fourth trophy after the game. And I know how BB would answer that question. He'd say it was Hobbs' job to cover him. This is Mr. We do whatever it takes, and yet he didn't do whatever it takes, and we lost. And the guys I was watching the game with all felt the same way, and we are hardcore Pats fans and have often chanted in BB and TB we believe. But for that game, BB stunk, and TB wasn't far behind. Keep up the great work, guys, and tell Casale to stay here. The heat in Vegas sucks. I don't care how effing dry it is.
It's a dry heat.
Dry heat.
I agree that that day, I think that BB let the team down. I don't think that I thought they got outcoached that day, and I don't think that his game plan was very good. And I don't necessarily agree with the switching of cornerbacks. However,
yeah, they didn't do it all year.
First of all, you can't just all of a sudden change what you do.
One play.
They played left and right all year, and now you're lamenting in the last quarter of the last game out of 19 that they didn't switch.
Don't you think that would get more criticism if you did that and gave up a touchdown and said, you didn't switch all year, and now you're switching on the biggest play of the year?
You guys know how I feel about Asante Samuel, and I think he is very much worthy of the status that he's achieved in the last 2 years. I remember him giving up a touchdown at the start of the fourth quarter of that game that cost the Patriots the lead at the time. He got beat just like Hobbs did. Now, he was an awful lot closer to the receiver when he got beat, but he got beat nonetheless.
Okay.
So I don't think you can make the statement that if they had switched sides and Samuel was on Plaxico, that they would have won.
Right.
I don't think you can make that comment.
The slogan was right. Who wanted it more? The New York Football Giants.
And I do think that not kicking was the biggest mistake that Belichick made in that game.
The Gherkin man checking in, Mike Gherkin.
Pickle.
Front, Patriots.com radio, back, PFW in progress. It's like the amateur porn of football talk. Not real pretty, but it gets the job done. Tuesdays and Thursdays, 12 to 2. Don't forget to send lunch. Is that one of those backhanded compliments we've talked about on this show before? We're not real pretty, but we get the job done. I don't like gross porn. I'd rather just use my imagination.
Porn? Well, there is such a thing as bad nudity. No question.
Yeah.
And a sock.
Oh.
What?
That still disturbs me, Gary. Well, I'm not ready. I'm not ready to talk about that.
If it's gross porn, then you won't need the sock.
You said amateur porn.
Any porn that's, amateur. There's some hot women I'd like to see porn.
That's what the Gherkin man said.
I don't need professionals.
Amateur.
I just need hot chicks. Yeah, whether they're paid or not is irrelevant to me. David Chartier. Is that his name? Is that how you say it, Paul? David in Nashua. We're big in New Hampshire.
Think I have like a personal relationship with every one of these people that email in.
Well, you have a better memory than any of us. Third down in 1994, Drew picked his nose, and that's why the ball slipped and he threw a pick.
That's just because I'm a loser, not because I have a better memory.
I like the play of words food and thought or talk, thinking of the old saying food for thought. Yeah, that was somebody else's idea.
Someone David. Came up with that one.
That was Keith in Central Florida, food for thought.
That's one we have to put on a small list of possibilities.
PFW, your food for Patriots thought. But you can mix and match that with your food for Patriots talk, your Patriots food for thought. Your Patriots food for talk.
Okay, now I'm dizzy.
We get it.
How many permutations we go in here? Just kidding, David. Great ideas. Keep chartier-ing your way into our show. Keith in Central Florida. A month or so ago. This is the guy with the idea. Keith in Central Florida, yes. He's got an email. A month ago.
Good memory.
On FoxSports.com, a reporter who said who was at the Rams walkthrough before the Super Bowl stated that there never was a walkthrough. That was at the Rams walkthrough before the Super Bowl stated that there
reporter
was never a walkthrough.
Reporter wouldn't be at the Rams walkthrough.
But more importantly,
no,
if the
wrong.
Reporter claims he was at the Rams walkthrough before the Super Bowl and there wasn't none.
I just give it one of those.
But I'll continue to read.
Tom's point is accurate. Reporters aren't allowed at the walkthroughs.
Right. And bottom line, I've seen Kurt Warner talk about red zone plays in the world. I mean, players, now they're just making it up, and they forgot that there was or wasn't. I'm just deleting the email. You got blown up. We love the food for thought idea. Your email stunk. Spygate, Cameragate from Todd in Nova Scotia. This whole mess is the league and Roger Goodell's fault. He is too reactionary, like Paul says. Amazing. Paul has a pro-patriot opinion. I'm not sure that was really...
Is that what he said?
If it was a pro-patriot opinion,
Todd,
he stumbled into it.
Come on. I'm defending the Patriots.
He overreacted when the first word of the taping came out because of pressure from the New York media. Well, that's not good if he's falling to pressure to the media. Like,
plus, didn't you... You always make the point, too, that it was like Tuesday of that week... Oh, no. The Sunday night game that he was on the San Diego game. Remember, he was like, we're going to get to the bottom of the... We're going to do this. We're going to leave no stone unturned. And all of a sudden, like Wednesday, it was like, okay, we destroyed the tapes. And
yeah,
they
flipped those stones pretty quickly.
Yeah, I mean,
I think he did. He handled it very poorly.
Terribly. Then word of Walsh first arose. The league was only admitting to 6 tapes. So Walsh was actually a story at the time. Now the taping goes all the way back to Belichick's first year with the Pats. So Walsh has no new evidence. If Goodell had only come out at the time and said the league would look into the allegation and decide on a punishment at a later date, all of this would not have happened. Good job, Roger, you dumbass.
That's Dumas.
See, the problem is with that new thing we have on the website, now if you search, like, Roger Goodell dumbass, our show pops up. I don't like that. We got to get away from that.
Why did you stop telling people to do that?
I'm sure it doesn't work, so.
Oh, no, it works. I tried it.
Oh.
I searched something, and it popped up with us saying stuff. I don't like it. Hey, guys, this is from Fred Thurber. I've heard rumors that the Patriots had targeted Zach Bowman when they traded up in the 5th, but Chicago got there first, so they took Slater as a consolation prize. Is this true?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong here. I don't know. I thought Bowman went, like, significantly earlier. I thought, like, 10 picks earlier or something. You know, like, I don't even think it was close.
I don't remember.
Because he was a guy that
order.
I remember we were thinking
well,
about him
false.
As a possibility.
Then it's false because isn't trading up for 10 picks later. He's
right, that's what I'm saying.
Making a trade for a player when the player's available at
and
the trade.
And I don't know if Chicago traded up to the spot that they picked Bowman at, but I thought I remembered, and I didn't even remember that Chicago was the team that picked Bowman. I just remember that he went because we were starting to talk about possibilities in the 5th round, and we thought maybe another cornerback, and I thought Bowman was a guy that Tom had brought up as a possibility, and then I remembered him going. I don't know. I remember him going significantly before the Patriots drafted. But
yeah,
maybe
I can't remember the exact time frame.
Craig from Boxborough, whose last name is funny, Sawish, S-A-W-I-S-C-H.
It should be Craig from Boxborough.
Well, it's Craig from Boxborough. I was just reading the from part on the email. I can give you his email address if you'd like.
I was going to say, why don't you give his social security number now?
Hey, first of all, subject line, Tomasi and T-shirt slogan, comma, Andy is an American role model. I love it. Hey, PFW, haven't emailed in a while, but I've been listening. Listening really helped me get over the Super Bowl. See, if you listen, you get over it. All these other people that didn't, they've been lamenting it for 5 months now, or however long it's been. First, I have to say that what people are saying on Tomasi's article is disgusting, and people who write these things should be ashamed. I have a question about that. Has he been threatened? Like, what other worst
ones? He
said
he was receiving threats, like his wife.
Way back.
Yeah.
Well, at the Super Bowl, he was claiming that.
Shouldn't that be like a police investigation following IP addresses and find the people?
I'm sure nothing ever came of it, so he just...
No, I know, but to me, that's a crime in threatening.
Oh, it can be.
Yeah, so that the Herald should pursue
that. I told
that.
The girl I was going to strangle her once, and she went to the cops.
Shocker. I mean, I think he should have had that dealt with somehow. The Herald should have helped him out or done whatever, and they should have looked into that. That stuff should not be allowed. Disgusting. The man was just doing his job. That doesn't mean he has a vendetta against the Patriots. People need to let it go and move on. T-shirt slogans. 1, PFW in progress. We have strippers. That's funny. With a big S, by the way, so part of the show. Ah, they're stealing our ideas on 1st and 10. Now they're getting pizza and wings delivered to their set. Oh, son of a... Everybody takes our good ideas.
Is it from the same place?
I think it's from Papageno's. It looks like it.
It does look like Papageno's. Oh, no, I think it's Papa John's. They got good pizza. It might be Papageno's, though.
It'd be a good way to keep that sponsorship thing going.
I think Stripper sent that in.
Strippers, are you cheating on us and sending food? Two, PFW in progress, raising the bar. I think that's false advertising against the law.
Plus, we don't want to be doing that.
PFW in progress, if you're listening, you're probably not reading. I don't even understand that one, Craig. You blew your load on the first one, buddy. Sorry, is it?
By the way, Gary printed out the fifth round, and Bowman went 11 picks before Slater.
Some slightly gay-sounding man named Daniel Two-Gender emails in.
He's got a lot to do, huh?
With exactly what you just said, Paul. Yeah, he's listening to this show, and he's a mini strippers now. He's not a mini Gary anymore. He's just, if we have a question, he's like our fact checker. Jeez, we've really reached it.
He's really mini Matt Leinart.
He's really just mini, if you look at him.
He's a wee little lad.
Tiny little feminine figure. A little bit like Eric with hair. Gay Bar from Berlin, Connecticut. Here's the, we already got the Billy Martin quote, but I haven't read it on the air. The two of them deserve each other. One's a born liar, the other's convicted. Billy Martin said of Reggie Jackson.
That was
George
the one
Steinbrenner.
I was thinking of. One's a born liar, the other's convicted.
Gabe says, Paul, I completely agree with your stance on Goodell. I think there was more to the tapes initially confiscated, and that's why they destroyed them, so no one would find out. I think Goodell's main fear is that he doesn't want his sport to be discredited. The NFL is held to a much higher regard than the other sports. If a player, see Barry Bonds or Clemens, does steroids, his entire career is looked down upon. In the NFL, see Sean Merriman, a player does steroids. He is suspended a few games and still considered to be a premier player, and the media kind of overlooks the fact that he cheated. Look at baseball. I would disagree with that, but I'll say that when I end. Look at baseball. The Yankees were considered a dynasty in the late 1990s and early 2000s, and now that it comes out that a lot of the players on their roster did steroids, those teams are now looked upon differently. I disagree with that.
I totally disagree with that.
I think the only way for the NFL to be discredited like baseball is through cheating through a way such as the Patriots did. Baseball players who, like, admitted to it, no one cares.
Right.
Like, guys that were linked to these
issues. What was the first thing he said about the
Clemens
NFL?
Clemens and Bonds tried to fight it, lied, and are jerks.
Didn't he say something about the NFL is thought of in a higher regard or something like that?
Yeah.
So that would be contradictory. I mean, obviously, if you're claiming that people are more offended by baseball, but they look the other way about football, that's not because football is held in a higher regard. It's because it's the differences in the sport. I think in football.
But I think he's saying, like, the NFL seems to get the benefit of the doubt, and they're considered the better sport, that you want to try and keep it that way.
It's certainly the more popular league. I don't think there's any argument about
that.
And
they earn the benefit of the doubt, and Goodell is doing whatever he can to make sure they maintain that little.
But I agree with you, Andy. I think that the reason that the certain guys got chastised were guys like Clemens and Bonds.
They were jerks.
They were jerks about it.
They lied. They tried to fight it.
They continued to lie and cover up. And that's what I'm concerned about here with football down the road. Is Goodell going to someday get caught lying and covering this stuff up? And then someone's going to figure that out. And I think it's going to make it a lot worse than it would have been if they just come out and said, we put a stop to it. This is what he did. We punished him, and that's it.
Tom from PatsDraft.com emailing in with a motto, says, greetings, hey DBs, longtime fan. My motto is PFW in progress, food, football, and buffoonery. That's all I got. It's not bad.
It's not bad.
We are buffoons, so.
PatsDraft.com, we've got some websites that love us other than the strippers types. Jason in Chiba.
Chiba.
I don't care for him.
It's a pretty good email, though. I like it. It ends very well. Nice show Tuesday, guys. Good thing it wasn't online until Wednesday night, your time, Thursday morning here, or I wouldn't have yet another reason to kick that idiot computer monkey Ferreira's ass. Before you ask, I don't care whose fault it was. It was Chris's, clearly.
You had it right.
His slogan, PFW, talking Patriots football, because it's a better job than yours. That's not bad. I kind of think that's funny. Doesn't really, do our whole sell the show thing, but if you need a name for Eric and Tom's show, it would be Don't Touch Me. I don't really get it. Oh, it's old school wrestling.
That's what I was
Tom
looking
right
at
now. Wrestler dies of mysterious causes. Sure, they were.
I wonder
mysterious.
What those were.
By the way, Eric, I heard that what you did there with my last email, you fraud. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that last email
and,
is.
Oh, even better for your T-shirt. PFW, taking emails from Jason and Chiba since 2000. I'm tremendous.
No wonder why Andy
made me
it.
Laugh. It was funny. Food for thought, that's Keith. Apparently that email's still here. Holy Moses. Joe McKenna.
That's Joe in Winnipeg, I believe.
I'm tremendous.
It is
Joe in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. How about these? PFW in progress, where Patriots fans meet for luck. I think he meant lunch. It's L-U-C-H, so I'm guessing he left the N out. PFW in progress for Patriots fans everywhere. Well, that's certainly the idea. Your ultimate source for all things Patriots. We're on the internet, so we can say whatever the F star star K we want. But that's not true. Gary doesn't let us. We like your boobs. That is accurate. Listen to the show, or
like
I'll stick this inside you. Where maybe we just drink to get drunk. Journalism at its best. Biased and without all that annoying inside information. Now that's funny. That says for the Fred Kirsch t-shirt only. Home of the elusive Red King. It's obviously a Gary reference. Did you get it today, Gary?
It's just a thumbs up.
We talk Patriots, NFL, and whatever else we feel like. Now that's good. That's that sums up the show.
Tom, yeah. You looking forward to the loss tonight?
Yeah.
Case in point.
That's why I did it.
You're not going to watch the Celtics?
Oh, yeah, I'll watch the Celtics. Loss doesn't start till 10.
In that LT mode, LeBron James, crybaby. I agree with all those shirts they're trying to spread.
Well, I tell
out.
You, I keep watching this highlight of the supposed.
When his head whips
flagrant,
back and his head, nothing ever
foul.
Pulls his head back,
well, about
there must
minutes,
be a ghost.
It's about 10 minutes after he gets fouled.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, his head shoots back like he got in a car accident.
Cassell's hands are on the back of his shirt and his head whips
back.
He
throws his mouthpiece out and then starts looking for the blood.
I'm
and
down
I really
on
like
him.
I really like LeBron.
I used to.
I don't like that.
Between this and the 30-foot picture of himself on the side of his house, I'm down on him.
That I kind
of
like.
The shirts have to say on Patriots.com radio on the back. Well, yeah, maybe. I'm sure Jake Steele would have thought about that a couple years ago, but let's face it, the guy has been mailing it in for a while now. He's too preoccupied with solving the world's soap crisis and man-grooming himself to think of these details.
You know what I like about it? The soap crisis. Like, people are sitting there, what are we going to do about how do I reach this soap?
Bad news for Fred. I forgot to tell you. I was telling Allison about this idiotic idea, and she said that she saw on TV they already have a thing where you take those little pieces of soap
and melt them.
And you melt them for hand soap.
It's a better idea.
So there's already a better idea out there for those things nobody cares about, so I don't think it's going to happen.
And that one hasn't exactly taken off.
No.
And anything can take off on infomercials.
That's great.
This Joe says, put me down for a T-shirt. I have some extra cash now. amongst yourselves. Sorry. Whew. I have some extra cash now that Tom talked me out of renewing my subscription to the paper. Good job, Tom.
No problem. Anything I can do to help.
Next.
Oh, by the way,
just not us.
I should just let you guys down easy. There's not going to be any T-shirts. Let's be honest. By the time this thing takes off, by the time that we have all these roadblocks, we have the character, which apparently isn't going to be done until next December. We have Fred okaying a slogan. Then we have to actually get the design people to make the T-shirt. Then we have to get the T-shirts made. It's just not going to happen.
That's probably true. Warren in London has a slogan. PFW, do you know a good webmaster? I like that one. ESPN. Colin from Connecticut here. I got home today to the best news. ESPN.com is now reporting that former patient employee, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Scroll through Dynasty Era, and you can kiss our collective. Oh, now sound effect, but that's a terrible email. Sorry, buddy.
I got a few from Andrew in the Ukraine.
The Ukraine? Gary, you put a pin in the Ukraine yet?
Yes. You think Ukraine's weak? Remember that Seinfeld, the guy on the subway?
It's always about Seinfeld. PFW, we'll eat your salad. There's four of them here. PFW, 2 hours you'll never get back. PFW, four men and a leg. I kind of like that one. And PFW, 30 minutes of entertainment crammed into 2 hours. That's Andrew in the Ukraine.
A little shot. You're in the not Ukraine. What else you got to do?
Not necessarily inaccurate, however.
No. What's it like in the Ukraine?
I don't know.
Is that one of those Russian
cold
places?
Yeah.
What made you think that, Mr. Tufts boy?
Formerly known as Russia when they all broke up. Dan Maloney. Dan in Long Island. I bet you listeners don't like when I give out their last names. Hey, guys.
I bet they don't.
It's like when Deidre gets mad at me for giving out details
of
our personal lives.
Stacey James took care of everything. We're reserving comment at this time.
We are reserving comment at this time. That's seven more words than he's ever provided us with.
Ready? One, two, three.
I was listening to the podcast only halfway through, and something's wrong with my throat. I keep getting this tickle.
Are you getting sick?
Could be from this microphone. Gary never cleans these, you know.
Gary just shakes his head.
No, don't come in and spray anything on my mic right now. I'm talking here. It'll make me cough. Man! He's not very professional, is he?
That sounded pretty funny.
And the slogan on the front, PFW, we give you Patriots football anywhere in the world. On the back, when you give us lunch. That's just the facts right there. Them's the facts. Nick in Hawaii, die Matt Walsh and PFW t-shirt slogans. Well, that's not good for you to say, Nick, because you're actually within the proximity of being able to get it done. Hey, guys, I'm still out here listening faithfully. Since Matt Walsh has finally given over his videotapes, he is supposed to be protected, right? Wrong. He is legally protected, but not physically. Okay? I'm going to Maui this summer, and I don't... What? Nick in Hawaii. I'm going to... Oh, is that a different island?
Yeah, they have different islands.
I'm not like Gary. I haven't been to every island in Hawaii and know the whole island like the back of my
Such
butt.
An idiot.
I'm going to Maui this summer, and I don't think it would be too hard to track him down and kick his ass.
I can agree with that, though. I think Matt Walsh deserves a good ass kicking.
Probably. All us Pats fans in Hawaii should band together and teach him a lesson. I joke, of course. But if someone listening is crazy enough to feel free to, then feel free to do it. I also came up with some slogans for you boys. Nobody does it like PFW. Literally. Wait. I don't get it. Anybody? Okay. Or maybe a shorter version of something like, God created the earth in 6 days, the seventh he listened to PFW.
Too religious.
Or PFW, it is what it is. And finally, PFW, better than sex. Thanks, guys. Mahalo. Nothing? You don't like any of them?
I'd have to question who you're having sex with, first of all.
Maybe Eric.
Aww.
Kind of bored with the slogans.
Mahalo. Well, you're not gonna. Oh, what's this? This guy a regular emailer? Taz in Canada? Nice. Long-time listener and finally found the email address. Oh, come on. Webradio@patriots.com.
Eric says it every minute.
When Eric hosts, you can't miss it.
WEBRADIO. Patriots.com.
And it's on the website.
Right. Some people, though, they send Ask PFW emails that are really meant to come to the show.
Yeah.
There were
some
slogans last week. That's true. Some of them are us. First, I typed Vince Red into Google, and the result was just a YouTube vid. Why is that so bad? Laugh out loud. Well, it was actually if you typed in Vince.
Hey, why?
Okay. Paul said I'm not allowed to talk about it anymore. Secondly, my slogan, PFW in progress, pretending we know what we're talking about.
It's not bad.
Certainly accurate. Paul doesn't like any of these. He's giving them the Fred disinterest.
I have to agree with Tom. I'm kind of tired.
Yeah, I thought this was like a Tuesday thing. I didn't know we were going to spill over until
like
next week.
These emails from strippers that have the little attachment symbol next to it and say, new talent, do you like? Those are good emails. Also, they give us the Dolphins against the Bills. They give us the Dolphins against the Bills.
Canada.
I hate the Bills. Oh, but the Dolphins. Wow. I really want to pay to see a 1-15 team play a bad team as well. Classy of the NFL.
And aren't the ticket prices like $500 a
shot? Oh, really? They're really jacking them up for that
game?
They're
huge.
American or Canadian?
That's not good.
I don't. If anyone knows, I believe the ticket prices for that game are outrageous.
Where's that? Sky Dome? Rogers Center?
Rogers Center, yeah.
Okay. Do they have new turf in there?
I wish it was. They have field turf.
Oh, okay. P.S. I love Lost as well. My second favorite show after any Patriots game, unless it's against the Giants in a Super Bowl, which many people, including me, think something fishy was up or that the Pats were just unprepared. You can see it on tape, such as the O-line just diving on plays and stuff. Wow, now just flat out claiming they took the Super Bowl off. Brian Zakowski. He's our friend in Aspen. PFW, Pissa Football Wonks. Lowbrow downloads and streams. What's a wonk?
Isn't that an Australian term?
Gary doesn't know. Strippers will send it momentarily.
Well,
Belichick.
See, that's the problem is Eric is not here, so we don't have anybody to, you know.
It's true.
Translate for us.
But on the side note, it's great that Eric's not here. Belichick put a story out in one of his draft follow-up interviews on how you win some and you lose some in trades. In that they traded with San Diego and still got Crable while they were trying to trade up and get Bowman and lost out to the Bears when they traded up. By the way, I don't believe a word that guy says. So he said this in an interview?
I can't believe that.
Was that EEI maybe?
I mean, it wasn't
a press conference.
I don't remember hearing him say a name. I heard him on EEI. I didn't hear the entire interview, but I don't remember him saying. I find it awfully hard to believe that he would talk about a specific trade that he didn't make.
And that mention would tell the name of a guy
that
they
tells
didn't
you
get.
He's disappointed,
right?
And I wouldn't think that he would do that, but you know, who knows? Maybe he did.
Another suggestion. You want me to skip all these suggestions now?
No,
is that
I don't care what you do.
Just suggestions. Football is half of it. You may not want the other half. And then sophomoric humor, football talk, live football blog. Those are sorry, Mark, but they're just not getting it done. We appreciate the effort. We all know about trying and failing. It's the story of our lives, so you have a home here.
Especially mine. There was a time that I actually tried hard.
And strippers, slang expression for wonk. An expert who studies a subject or issue thoroughly and excessively. The word is most often encountered in the term policy wonk. It's an acronym for without normal knowledge. It's also the reverse spelling of the word know, K-N-O-W. It's W-O-N-K. Thank you, strippers. You never fail to disappoint. Gary, I thought you screened.
Never fail to disappoint.
I'm getting like clinical studies
you
emails.
Never fail to disappoint.
I know.
You yelled at me when I deleted them. Now you're yelling at me when I don't.
I just can't count
He's
on
beautiful.
You. Beautiful. You read that one, Paul. This is from Andrew in the Ukraine. Didn't you read him too?
Yeah.
But not the long one. You read his four ideas.
Oh, that's all that Gary printed out for me.
Okay, this is a Homer email. Again, it's going to be lost. Fred is not here.
Yeah, we need Fred for these.
I'm one of those Homers who really liked this draft. I think some of the criticisms of this draft are pretty ridiculous. If O'Connell becomes a good backup, I'm sure no one will say it was a bad pick because they could have gotten him in round five. Or if Rude finds a backup spot, I'm sure people won't say they could have gotten him as an undrafted free agent.
You could say that about any player in any draft.
Right. Bottom line is, if five of the draft picks make the team, very possible this year, in 2 years, draft Knicks will be saying this was the best draft of any team in 08.
Right.
Here's my feeling in the last two picks. One has a lot of raw athletic ability, and the other has football intelligence, which is quite premium in Bill's system. My gut feeling on why Bill traded up was that he knew someone else liked Slater. Spygate 3, Or that he saw greater value by trading up and having the extra time to go after potential free agents like Drago, Red, and Guyton. This also is interesting. I heard one national guy say that Golston only is a bull rush pass rusher with no moves. Wouldn't it be funny if Mangini got duped again?
When was the last
time? All of a sudden, Golston can't play, huh?
Yeah.
When
of course.
Was the last
He's
time
not
he
here.
Got, when was the last time he got duped?
I don't know.
He said again.
Why don't you drive out to the Ukraine and ask him?
That kind of email just doesn't make sense to me because I can sit here and tell you that the Cowboys draft stunk, and in 3 years maybe I'm you know what I mean. Like we don't really know. But first of all, Rude, forget him. He's a seventh round pick. I don't care who you take in the seventh round. Makes no difference to me.
Sixth round,
wherever he was. He was the last.
Selling him short as usual.
He was
the anti-patriot.
He was their last pick. So if he makes the team, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't. No one really cares.
No one's going to call it a bad pick if he doesn't make the team.
The controversial one is Slater because they traded up to get him. No one's really quite sure why, and we'll have to see how that works out.
And by the way, if all those guys make the team and they all become great players, everybody will say it's a good draft. That's how it works.
And if Rude doesn't make the team, you don't judge a draft by the sixth round draft pick who didn't make the team.
If Mayo and
Wheatley become starters,
I would say, and then two out of three of Wheatley, Crable, and O'Connell become NFL players, legitimate NFL players. No one's going to sit there and say it's a bad draft because they traded up to get Slater and they didn't need to, and they took Bo Rude in the sixth round. No one will say that.
Well, and while no one is saying blah, 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 Bill, if they stink, is not going to come out and say, well, you know, that's what happens when you take guys two rounds too early. I mean, he's not going to say, you move forward. You evaluate it as you go. That's what we're doing here. T-shirt slogans, Rob in Indy. He might have a good one since he's in Indy. PFW in progress. We are who you thought we were. PFW in progress. You might think it, but we say it. PFW in progress. You might think you know, but you just don't know. they weren't great.
How about PFW in progress? We're diddly poo.
with the emphasis on poo.
We couldn't do diddly poo.
We could have a commercial saying
slogan ideas.
PFW in progress. Radio?
PFW in progress. We cannot have a conversation without your compensation, or lunch would be fine, too. Yeah, I don't love it. Also, I have a question regarding Brady's shoulder. What exactly is the ailment that he has had the last 2 years? I know he had a separated shoulder during the 2002 season. Do you think that this will have an effect on how long he plays? Also, I have to disagree with that Dwayne guy's belief that Brady was one of the primary reasons that the Pats lost the Super Bowl. I don't know what game he was watching, but the offensive line got bitch-slapped the whole game, and Brady never got a chance to stand up and throw, which, by the way, is something Eric is definitely used to, standing due to the fact that he never gets laid. I see what you did there. Anyways, if not for Brady, this team would not be as nearly as successful as it is today.
Good point.
The understatement of the decade.
Tom comes through in the clutch like Montana did, and Brady never says die, which is one of the many attributes that makes him the best QB in the NFL today. Suck that, Peyton. Thanks, guys. That's Mike in Florida.
He said something. I forgot because I stopped listening. what was he saying early on in the email?
I don't know. I deleted it. We'll move on. It wasn't that important. Samuel Kim with some slogan ideas. I saw one that caught my eye. This is from Sam, the not really a Pats fan in New Jersey. We're starting to pick up the not really Pats fans that are listening now.
Well, we probably got mostly Cowboy fans now.
PFW in progress, DBs get offensive. It's okay. PFW in progress, 4.5 men. I kind of like that one. I don't think either Paul or Tom are listening anymore. They're watching separate TVs in the studio.
4.5 men.
Gary, anyone listening?
I heard it. I'm just
Sam, I like your idea. PFW in progress, looks good on you. Rock out with your mocks out. That's kind of funny during draft time. PFW in progress, you're doing it wrong. What does that mean? Some of these get too specific in their references that I don't remember what they're referencing.
We don't even know what they are.
We'll have to get Dan, our man, to explain them. The right answers to all the wrong questions.
It's Pierre Woods, or Crable. He looks just like Gilbert Arenas. Did you ever notice that?
I think Gilbert Arenas' legs are twice as big.
Well, I'm saying
maybe
the face,
three times.
The face-wise.
Yes, they definitely look
alike.
They
just showed Gilbert Arenas, and I thought they were showing Crable.
Yeah, he looks like Crable. I'm looking at the little headshot.
As I said, the bigger problem is Gilbert Arenas' legs are far bigger. PFW in progress, your weekly Patriots gangbang.
I don't think
that's allowed. PFW in progress, almost perfect, just like the Patriots. That one's kind of funny.
I like that.
PFW in progress, now with restraining orders. PFW in progress, like internet porn, but for your ears. PFW in progress, like an abusive lover. It hurts you, but you keep on coming.
You might not have wanted to read that one.
It's spelled C-O-M-I-N-G, not like Fred spelled it the other day.
Gary still got his head down in there.
No, that one's not good. PFW in progress, the official black sheep of the New England Patriots. That one's pretty accurate.
That's accurate.
The Crafts deny all responsibility for PFW in progress. PFW in progress, Mike Reese steals our lunches. No, he doesn't. He couldn't. Not big enough or fast enough. Who is this Kason guy who went to San Diego? Rich in Goffstown, New Hampshire.
In about 3 years in the draft show, someone's going to write in something about Kason that's going to crack us all
up. That's going to be damn funny. Hey, guys, love your show. I have it set to download every time on iTunes so I can listen to it when I get home from work or around 2 a.m. when last show posted, thanks to Chris Ferreira. Sadly, I can't listen to it at work. Damn Nazis. Anyhow, I was listening to the latest show, and I heard you were looking for T-shirt ideas, so I quickly threw together a couple ideas. This whole email was just to get to your ideas. Okay. PFW in progress, a sports podcast by the rejects of Patriots Nation. These have taken an ugly turn of late. PFW in progress, a podcast by jackasses of Patriots Nation. Sense a theme here. PFW in progress, the moronic sportscast for Patriots Nation. I don't think I like your tone.
Please stop sending those in, please. I don't want to hear another one.
Chantel from Phil from Nova Scotia, Would it be fair to say that Bill Parcells was a coach that just coached from year to year without long-term plan? If so, how will his old coaching philosophy affect his new role in Miami? And will he install such Parcells-specific plan/philosophy that it will all fall apart once he leaves?
I would certainly say that later in his career, that's how he coached. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. Although the Jets were in good shape, better shape when he left them than they were when he got there, that's for sure.
So were the
Cowboys.
You
could say the same about the Cowboys.
And I truly believe, once again, I don't think he would have taken the Cowboys job. I think they just offered him too much money to the point where he said, I just can't give that up. And, you know, he drafted a lot of talent there, and you're seeing it now with Bum Jr.
Hey, Fred Thurber checking in with an actual football question, I think. I was wondering if Merriweather has been working on his hands. Has he been spending some quality time with the jugs machine? He would be an excellent safety if he could develop hands. I haven't
seen
anything.
According to reports, that he has.
Right, but I haven't seen
it. But we haven't seen it.
I would assume, based on last year when Bill says I give guys like a few things to work on in the offseason, hands would be one of his. Because what's Bill always say about something about ending the play with the ball in your hands? He likes that.
But
I'm a big fan. Chris Gasper of the Boston Globe.
Who, by the way, is just.
Absolutely.
You know, how we fall in love with players here. Chris Gasper has Merriweather in the
Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl season this year for Brandon Merriweather, and he had a story about a month ago or so that said that he has been doing a lot of work on his hands.
The one thing I'll say about that is I think that's one of the things that's hard to teach. You know, when receivers can't. Right, really, you notice with Stallworth first, Andy, how he kind of bobbles that. I think if you don't have good hands, once you get in a game situations and the ball gets there, you always have that problem. I'm not saying you can't improve on it a little bit, but it's one of those things that's a lot easier when you're doing it with a jug machine than right. In the actual game.
And when you know the ball's coming and the path is, you know, in the game, you're reacting to so many different factors. You know, everybody makes a comparison, and I've been guilty of it. There was the whole Asante Samuel. He struggled early in his career, and then he had those stories about the mini Nerf football he worked with in the offseason, and it helped his hands. I don't know. I don't really remember Asante's hands being as bad as this.
No.
I mean, this Rodney Harrison joked that he didn't want to gain the title of worst hands on the team and take it from Brandon Merriweather. Like, it was a running joke with players, media, everybody. So I think you're right, Tom. Now, he could improve like anything else, but to think he's all of a sudden going to be like ripping down one-handed picks and become this automatic playmaker, yeah, a little positive for Chris Gasper and company to think that. I'm skimming. You won't like that, Tom, so I'll just skip it.
Why? What's it about?
It's more slogans.
Oh.
I'm going to try eat Chinese. There's some weird emails in here. How about have lunch? We'll talk. You don't like it? Nothing. Hi, honey.
Who's that to?
We've gotten to the dregs of the emails in the last 10 minutes.
That was from strippers, I believe.
Oh.
Do you do this so you never have to host?
Yep. Ben in Boston, here's a slogan. PFW in progress. Great football talk with full stomachs. Anything? Anyone?
Gary, where are the crickets? I've been looking for the crickets for about 45 minutes.
They left.
Oh, even the crickets were bored and went home? Well, I did Tom's rule, and all the new emails were about, William Berry wants to talk about any insider that we started talking about hours ago. Guys, first off, some background, like Jay Leno summarizing the news before he tells a joke. On the ESPN message boards, there's a guy calling himself Any Insider. In his first post, he explains how ESPN was a network non grata, as Paul referenced. I'll wait while Eric explains that. You don't have to, because I actually used it earlier for a different reason. In subsequent
still
posts,
waiting.
he/she has just been a homer explaining how great the draft picks are. That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
So in seven posts, ESPN misplaced one. Guess which one? Okay. Hat was a digression. But can you blame me for wanting to truthfully slur the worldwide hater? I don't know what any of that meant. Anyway, there are three possibilities.
He can't read.
I read it exactly as it says.
And what don't you understand? What word in that sentence didn't you understand?
So in seven posts, ESPN misplaced one.
The one about network non grata, I'm assuming they deleted on their own. And then he said that was a digression against the worldwide hater or something like that.
Oh, they removed that post from the board?
I mean, that's what you read.
I don't know. Anyway, there are three possibilities. One, it is a very knowledgeable fan pretending to be an insider. Two,
most likely
that's
scenario.
Probably the most likely scenario.
It is someone at ESPN trying vainly to get Patriot fans back to that company.
I can virtually guarantee that's not the scenario.
Three, it is Fred Kirsch.
Can't rule that out.
Fred, don't you know we homers hate ESPN? Try coldhardchff.com. They have boards. Don't make you comment 10 times before making a thread like Pat's fans.
These are people from those websites that are trying to get their websites plugs.
Yeah, and listen, ESPN is not hurting because a few Patriot fans don't like them.
Right.
You talk about a monopoly. That is a absolute monopoly.
And I'll scroll down to the end where he says, by the way, we know it can't be Andy because he never asks for food. And this guy, William Berry, is from New Bedford.
Yeah, I would say it's just a fan trying to be important.
I think so.
Hey, guys. My name is Woody, a Connecticut transplant who lives in Alabama. I'm a longtime listener and fan of both the Patriots and your show. Each one of you bring a unique vibe, I think he means vibe, and your attitude to the show, which sometimes leaves me laughing, crapping, and crying, all while sitting in my office cube at work. Just wanted to drop you guys a note to say hello and encourage you guys to keep up the good work. I feel that your football website and radio/podcast talk show are the best, bar none. I love it. I will be renewing my subscription
to... Yeah, this came in on Tuesday.
What? Hey, is
that Gary is all over you.
Good, I won't have to host for another 5 months. I will be renewing my subscription to Patriots Football Weekly shortly. Would like to thank you guys for
advise against that.
would like to thank you guys for the off-season shows and looking forward to the new season with your input and comments. And here are his slogans. This is the guy who laughing, crapping, and crying. I like that idea. It leaves you laughing, crapping, and crying.
Yeah, and as our paper, I meant in general, I was surprised that team newspapers still exist in general is without the point I made.
If you're going to get one, this is the best
one.
Yeah,
if you're going to, I mean.
Yeah, I think our work is very good, but I just, to
Ron
me.
Ron Jaworski says it every year.
But to me, I would look for our stories on the internet. You know what I mean? Like, and I think, Paul, one of the things, like you say, you used to like to have a newspaper. I think I grew up like that.
Yeah, but I'm a dying breed.
Right. That's what I was going to say. With these new generations coming
Fat,
up, I
bald,
think it's going to be harder for newspapers to exist because I don't think they grow up with that newspaper in their hand on the toilet like we did.
Yeah. I mean, I think that was what I was talking about, Andy, not being fat, bald, and old. Oh. People that need to have a newspaper in front of them so they can see like the charts and the pictures and stuff like that. No one needs that anymore.
Do you think it's going to go digital? Because those companies keep saying they're going to come out with like digital books where it's like a screen that you just read the screen.
Right.
And it
changes. I think that's probably a way they'll go. I think there'll always be some newspapers, but I think it's going to trim down quite. I mean, you look at here in Boston, the Herald's struggling.
They're all struggling. They're all. I mean, what was
Hope struggling too?
Fred was talking about it with our printer. The day after all those results came out, there were two papers in the world that haven't lost subscriptions. It's U.S. or in the country. It's USA Today and
the Wall Street Journal,
I believe, is the other one. Everyone else lost some percentage of their readership. Subscriptions were down. News. So it's just it's going. We're up. BFW, baby. We're up.
And they're sitting at the store. If you want one.
Well, that's poor placement.
I love that argument from you all.
Well, our subscriptions are up.
Yeah, our subscriptions are up. But I just, I love, because when I go by, I think to myself, damn, no one's buying this paper. And Andy's thinking, that's poor placement.
I got to be honest with you, Tom. I've never seen one in a store.
Oh, really?
Never once.
They seem to do well at the CVS's and Rite Aid's of the world, but the grocery stores, they're pretty stacked.
Kieran, our friend in Ireland, said, if you get a chance, ask Paul in L.A. what he was drinking this morning. You notice we're big with the drunks? Does that say something about us?
I think it does, because as Gary knows. Wow, that's a long gap.
Is it broken?
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
Holy crap. I didn't know you needed a 10-minute lead-in to play a soundbite these days. Jeez.
Just waiting for you to finish an email.
No wonder you don't work in real radio. Just kidding. I know you send all the good stuff to EEI, and they've been living off you for years.
He goes, yeah, that's true.
He shakes his head, yes.
And then I ask you to get the stuff back here to play on our show, and you don't. Remember the one, I'm in the business of kicking your ass and business is booming? Remember that one? You still haven't gotten it.
I didn't like that one.
Why? Ah, you stink. PFW in progress. We're crap, but you'll listen anyway. It's kind of true. Patriots talk, but we're not fanatics about it. That's true. It certainly describes our show. PFW in progress, still reading t-shirt mottos. And yeah, I knew you guys would say something about not being able to find the email address I just wanted you to make fun of and feel part of the PFW family.
Well, Andy, I got good news for you.
What?
You will not be hosting on Tuesday because if Fred's not here, I'm going to be hosting because not one of those suggestions is getting read.
Well, just so you know, at this point in the show, webradiopatriots.com, they're all slogans. No one has anything to talk about Spygate.
That's amazing to me. That I thought so many people would be talking about what's going on and...
They are
we kind of said we didn't really want to talk about it for 2 hours,
say,
but
I'm
it would
glad.
Have been better than talking about t-shirt slogans.
And you know what's amazing? We're now about one full show and an hour 45 of the other show, and I don't think we got a slogan yet. We got
that shows you how bad the fans are.
Hundreds.
We have some decent suggestions, though.
Yeah, but we don't have a... I would have thought one of these would have been a light bulb comes on, there it is. That's the slogan. So far, we've got bits and pieces of okay slogans. And we've got emails coming in... Headline, more t-shirt titles. PFW in progress. Yes, they'll give anyone a radio show. We prefer to offend rather than defend. Gary, does this music mean you want me to wrap the show up? Is that what this is? Is this like when you win an Oscar or something and you're in your speech and they start playing music?
You're not winning an Oscar for this. I can tell you that.
No, you don't get Oscars for the radio. You get what
whatever
do you get,
it
Gary?
Is. We're not getting
Marconis.
I'm going to win a Marconi for this performance. Anyway. We've reached that final time, the end of the show that you've all been hoping for, as I've read hundreds and hundreds of slogans.
How long are we going here?
None of them any good. That's going to wrap up Thursday afternoon. Spygate, still in the news. You didn't want to talk about it?
Cameragate.
We'll be back next week if you want to talk about it then, and we will see you next Tuesday.